Episode 236, March 21st, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Wow. What a week, Joe Robinson. Big week for you. A lot of Joe Robinson hate, more than normal. Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. Huge stuff with Tom Arnold. We're going to get into that. Joe went to Vegas. We've got a wonderful gift from our reigning listener of the year, Miggity Mac. We're going to get into that. Welcome to the show. No Robbie, Joe, myself, Marcus. What's up, guys?
What's up, bro? I'm a little tired, so I'll probably be just as bad as I normally am.
No, well, you just got back from Vegas. We'll get into all that, but let's talk about this Tom Arnold thing. I mean, if you listened to last week's show, you did four shows, two nights at the Baltimore Comedy Factory with Tom Arnold. You talked about what happened, how you ended up having an MC on the Saturday night. Didn't really get along too well with him. It was a funny story. Didn't think much of it. You told the story on our show. You told the story on 98 Rock. 98 Rock put the audio of it, I guess, on their SoundCloud page. They tweeted it to Tom Arnold, your impression
interview or whatever. Right.
Yeah. And he listened to it and then went on a 50 plus rapid fire hate tweet session all about you, Joe Robinson.
How do you do that, by the way? I mean, does he have to type and then it runs out of characters, he hits enter and then just keeps typing? I couldn't read it. Does that just mean I'm old?
Well, by the time I found out about it, because, you know, this happened in the wee hours of the early morning, he deleted them all. So
yeah,
I think at 9:30 and it was just the whole world was going crazy and he deleted them.
Yeah, I think he thought it made him look petty, which it did. It did make him look petty, right? Here's the thing that's frustrating to me is that, first of all, was I really that upset with Tom Arnold? No, I wasn't that upset with him. But no. All that stuff is true, okay? Everything I said was true. And he says these things like, hey, he's doing this to draw attention to himself. I didn't do it to draw attention to myself. I told a story that never would have gotten to him if 98 Rock didn't poke him with it, right? But
absolutely.
At the end of the day, he's like, hey, I give this money to charity for the t-shirts. Hey, my dad just died, which I feel horrible about, right? Hey, he just wants attention. This is BS. Well, which is it? What is it? Is this stuff not true? Is there a reason that it's okay? Because here's the deal. I mean, I could back off if it wasn't true. It's probably some danger in lying about a celebrity, right? Well, he did shut the door. I couldn't get into the green room without knocking on it or opening it, which is invasive if he says he's in there changing. And that door didn't open again until the second show started. That happened. He can't really deny that.
Well, I've heard that it's in his contract to have a private green room.
Fair enough. Okay. Maybe it is. Okay. I didn't know
that. Why didn't he just say that, though?
You sure? Whatever. But here's the thing. I didn't know that. And it is, look, if I say, hey, I need a private agreement, which, by the way, I'd never say. I would never say that. But let's say that I did. And the two opening comics were in there with me. And then I shut the door so they couldn't come back in without knocking or walking in. I get to remark on that. I get to say that that happened, and I get to have an impression on that. I mean, that's if you see that I've been performing with you, and then I'm up there. By the way, I'm taking pictures for 45 minutes of you and your fans. I'm doing that. You understand? I'm a 40-plus year old man, as you know. I'm taking pictures, and I do that for 45-plus minutes, and you don't say thank you. I get to comment on that. That's a dick move. You can't deny that. If somebody helps you do something, does he think that I, the feature, normally stands on stage and takes 45 minutes worth of pictures with other people's phones? Is that a normal thing that people do?
I think it is, because he's used to having people
fair enough
look How up about, to him and thank be you. Starstruck. Okay.
Yeah, but you can't talk down to those people. A thank you is in order. Now, by the way, I'm not outraged. Now I am, because it's almost like I'm petty. No, I told this story. The story's funny. He did shut the green room door. He did ask me to take a credit card. He did tell me, well, if you write it down, you won't forget. He did tell me to keep it short. He didn't remark about the wrong Black Eyed Peas song was played. And he didn't say thank you after I took pictures. I did those things. And I told the story. And all of a sudden, this guy's going off. He's calling the club. I mean, this guy's he's going crazy over me. By the way, how about, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you got the wrong impression. Seriously, you're a dick if you did all that and now you want to get me. Because here's the thing. He's like, well, I'm just looking for attention. Tell me how I benefit. Please tell me. Where's the publicity? Where's the money going to come from? What's happening to me now? Did I get my own sitcom? What's the benefit?
Well, the thing is you didn't. He made this. He brought the attention to you by doing the 50 tweets.
No one would have ever. Remember,
even after hearing this story, when you told me what happened and when you told it on our show, I still like Tom Arnold, because I was like, I like Tom Arnold, you know, whatever. Okay. You know, he's not a guy that did stand up, that came up through the ranks, that understands what it's like to be the feature or the MC on the show. He's a movie star that now does comedy. J.L. Covan has a similar story about Steve-O, a guy who did the Jackass stuff and now does stand up. So he doesn't understand. He hasn't walked in those shoes. But I still like Tom Arnold. But then when he did all this, now I'm like, whoa, you made yourself out to the dick by being the dick by doing this. Now
it's
I don't like
going.
You because of this.
You understand?
Yeah,
it's still going on. Right, of course.
What's
he's
the
still
latest?
Upset.
What's he still doing?
Well, you know, I got to be careful because, you know, who knows what the fallback is going to be. Right. Apparently, I did this so I could really push my career forward. Nothing's happened. I'm doing the same podcast.
The Baltimore Sun did their interview with you.
Yeah, that landed me a lot of money, actually. So, you know, it definitely jeopardizes what I can do at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. You know, I mean, it definitely does, right? They're upset. Well, I mean, they're not going to book me anymore, right? And the reason they're not going to book me is because, obviously, you know, Tom Arnold has called. He's upset.
Well, don't
he's
say
upset.
Obviously. Tell us what happened. I mean, because they would book you. They love you. You're
no,
their number one.
No, they won't. He's specific. There's been agents who have called and said, if you book Joe Robinson, we're going to pull our comics. Where do you think that came from?
See, this what makes him look like a dick.
Think about it.
And somebody said on Twitter that you're the one looking for attention. 98 Rock, this all started when he was on 98 Rock on Friday morning, and they said to him, hey, our friend Joe Robinson's your featured. Tell us what you think about him. We want to report on how he does. That was them letting him know that, oh, you could be prickly or something. Because if it was me on there or it was me featuring, they would have said, hey, our friend Rob's going to be on the show. He's a big drunk. You're going to love him. That's what they would have said. But
yeah,
because
you're probably
it was you, they started that ball rolling. So then in his mind, he's thinking, what's this Joe Robinson guy? Is he kind of a dick? So then when you're in your initial first impressions of each other, that was already there.
Yeah,
sitting
but he
out.
Was fine. When we were sitting in the green room, he was fine. What's that?
But I think that was in the back of his head and all that, and he wanted you to write more stuff down. It started in this place. We're like, I'm not going to watch out for this guy. It was in the back of his head, and then it built, and then it turned into this whole situation.
Well,
over basically nothing.
Yeah, of course it's nothing. And what's strange is that if that's me, maybe I won't do this. Maybe I don't understand myself well enough. I would look back and go, wait a minute, I did shut that door. Wait a minute, I did ask the other comic if he would take credit cards. I didn't thank him for standing on the stage. That's true. You know what I mean? I did say, keep it short to the guy. I did say, you know, if you write it down, you won't forget. I did say those things. Okay, I can understand why that might be something that would make me make him think that I was talking down to him. Like, at the very least, I'd say, you know what? Yes, I get that. But this guy, because when things are true, you get ultra defensive. Or if you're a big person, you say, wait a minute. Okay, wait a minute. That stuff did happen. And by the way, all of that happened. It all happened. But who cares? It wasn't that big a deal.
He cares. That's the telling part about this. That's the telling part.
I only told it on 98 Rock because I told it in the car ride down to Virginia Beach, and they asked me if I would tell it again. I guess it was funny enough. It was worth the story. Then they tweeted it at him. And I don't know if that looked like I'm the one who was doing that. Maybe it did. I have no idea. Maybe they thought that I was the aggressor. So I get it. And he went nuts. You know what I've said since then? I said, nothing. I'm going to be on 98 Rock to defend myself. That's it. I haven't said one other thing.
Michael Mara show. You had a great appearance on there.
Yes. Sorry. Yes, I did tell the story again.
That's basically us. That's our family.
Well, this is my network, right? I get to do that. I haven't reached out to anyone. No one's reached out to me. TMZ's not calling. Again, there's really no benefit to me. It only hurts, especially since he's so upset. He has power. I have none. You understand? But here's the thing. If he really, instead of saying, wait a minute, I made that guy who's a comic stand on stage with me and take pictures of me and my fans and stand there while I talk to him, and I didn't say thank you. By the way, I didn't know it was for charity. Now that I know that it was for charity, I'm a lot less upset that I was asked to do that. But I never really blamed Tom Arnold for having to do that. 45 minutes minimum is how long I stood there. I'll bet you it was longer. So I'm not exaggerating. It's probably longer that I did that over the two shows. Walk up and go, hey, man, thanks for doing that. I know you're the comic. You're not a photographer. And I know that you stood there and took those pictures. Thank you for doing that. Nope. Nothing. And then in hindsight,
it shouldn't be your job.
He wants to hurt me. You understand? He wants to hurt my career in hindsight. In hindsight, instead of saying, well, you know what? I can see how I could have come across that way. That's all. Now, on my end of it, obviously, I was exaggerating how upset I was for the purpose of the story. We're trying to make a funny story, but every single one of those things happened. Every single one of those things happened. And you know what he's going to do about it? Nothing. He can't do anything because it's true, other than try to hurt me in some way. And think about it. Who's petty? Am I petty because I said that? Or is he
petty?
No,
you're trying to, you're being, it's good radio. You're being funny. You're on there telling what happened and you're telling them the truth.
Right. And
you're
making
it funny and compelling.
Well, it is interesting that he said on in his Twitter rant that it's BS, but then he defends everything that he did. He goes, hey, I have to set up jokes based on my credits. That's why I had him do it. Well, I thought you said I was lying, right? I don't know. Did he deny shutting the green room door? Did he deny the credit card? Did he deny, say, keeping it short?
I don't know. He deleted all these tweets. So, I mean, when you delete your rant, that you clearly, as someone said to you, this is a bad look for you.
Well, it's not over. I mean, he is coming after me. He is coming after me. He does want to hurt my career. But again, I mean, what's he going to do to my stand-up? I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care. But
I know you don't care. It's just the thing is, and, you know, there were a few people chiming in on our Twitter at Robin Joe Show. He blocked you and he blocked our Twitter, Robin Joe Show. He didn't block me. But there, the reality is you're a better stand-up comedian than Tom Arnold.
Of course. And here's the other thing. He has 100. By the way, he is an excellent talk show guest. An excellent talk show guest. Matter of fact,
he's a more talented guy than you.
No, it's not even close.
You're a better stand-up comedian.
And I was going to say to him, if he was even remotely friendly, remember how you pitched an idea to help me out, Koechner, David Koechner?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know what would be a great idea for either Norm MacDonald or Tom Arnold, who can't really find their niche but are great on talk shows? They should bring in celebrities each week to interview them. You understand? Like have like somebody, you know, oh, Vin Diesel's in this week to interview Tom Arnold. You know, Jason Bateman's in here to interview Tom Arnold. And the celebrities are the ones doing the interviews. What questions do you have for him? Because he's so good in interviews. I know that's a good idea. And I'm thinking, I'm just going to give that to him. I'm just going to give that to him if he's cool. But he was the opposite of cool. And not only did I come there thinking, man, I wonder if I could pitch this idea to him. He can just have it. But instead, he was a dick, and now he's trying to literally ruin my comedy career. No lie, he is.
He is. I mean, it's just, it's so telling that this got under his skin so much. Because there's, I mean, I think he's probably a good guy, and maybe you caught him on a bad week. But then I say no, because a good guy wouldn't do what he's doing. A good guy would let it go.
How many times have you, matter of fact, girlfriend Katie, right? Sweetest girl alive, bought me some t-shirts, okay? She set them on my end table by the bed. I went in, I saw them, didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. I forgot to say thank you. Sometimes you forget.
Yeah.
And then she said to me, hey, do you see the t-shirts? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Yes. Thank you for doing that. It was so nice of you, because that's the right thing to do. Right. Now, again, it's difficult for him because it's kind of, it's wrapped in this other stuff that I'm kind of, you know, disclosing, right? But at the end of the day, the worst thing that he did was ask me to stand up there and take pictures. He sees I have gray hair. Like, he sees I'm almost 50, right? And I'm taking pictures of him and his fans and standing there till he's done talking to them. Hey, thanks for doing that. Well, he did owe me that, but instead of saying, God, you know what? I did. I should have said thank you to that guy. That was a dick move. Nope. No, I'll call the club or have somebody's agents call the club or do whatever I need to do so this guy can't work there anymore. What a fucking dick.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way to spin it. Shout out to Todd Moore. He, big fan of yours, Joe. He actually tweeted Oscar Santana, Tuesday morning, I guess, and said, you got to catch up on this Tom Arnold Joe Robinson stuff, which led to you going on TMOS. Todd said he listened to everything. He listened to the 98 Rock stuff, our show, the article. He said he couldn't get enough of it and that you need to keep fighting celebrities. It's radio gold. And I want to just say this. He is correct. You are really good at radio. I mean, it's the thing you do the best at, honestly. You're great at having opinions, telling stories, being compelling. You're damn good at this, Joe. You're better than me. I'm a better stand-up comedian than you are, but you're better at radio than I am. There's no doubt about it.
Fair enough.
Joe,
That's the end. I wanted to keep hearing it. Sorry, go ahead.
Joe, I got to ask. I mean, out of all the gigs that you do on a regular basis, how many of them are at the Baltimore Comedy Factory?
I worked at the Baltimore Comedy Factory. Probably see, there's little special nights that you'll do if Justin has like a special appearance that he's doing, you know, for the day before Thanksgiving or something like that. But actual weekends with comics, I worked there like four times a year.
Okay, so it's not a huge impact.
No, you're wrong, Marcus. The four times a year at, here's the deal, around here there's a bunch of rooms. But there's only four or five clubs, okay?
If that, yeah.
Right, if that. I mean, I consider the Arlington Draft House a club. Yeah. I consider the DC Improv a club. I consider Magoobies a club. And Baltimore Comedy Factory, yeah. If you take away 25% of those, and Magoobies doesn't work the features the same way that the Comedy Factory does.
No one does.
Yeah, the Magoobies will work you once a year. So that means, you know, if you're working four times at the Comedy Factory, one time at Magoobies, I'm not working the improv other than the murder mystery, and I'll do the Arlington Draft House maybe once a year. You think about that. For the major clubs, it's more than half my gigs.
Wow.
For the local clubs.
Now, again, Marcus, but, you know
that's going to blow over. They love you there. And that's,
I understand that. But I said to them, and I said to Chip, who I love, listen, don't do what's right for the club. I'm fine. You know what I mean? I'm fine. But you think about what a bad guy it ends up Tom Arnold is. If Tom Arnold would have been like, oh, man, that's whatever. This guy's exaggerating things, blah, blah, blah. They would have ripped me apart and it would have been a little bit more justified. Right. But now, I mean, this guy's literally tried to. I mean, think about Tom Arnold. If he loses one gig, it's one millionth of whatever his revenue is. Right.
Right. It's no big deal.
As far as my comedy is, if I lose all the gigs at the Baltimore Comedy Factory, you know, that's a significant portion of the money that I make in comedy each year.
His only thing that he should be saying is, I don't want to work with Joe Robinson anymore. Fair enough.
Or he could you know, if he has friends in comedy, he can say, hey, if you go to Maryland, be careful because I worked with this guy, Joe Robinson. That's fine. But even that's kind of a dick move.
No, it's not fine either. The fact that he
is right. It's not. I mean, I want to give this guy the benefit of the doubt.
It's lame. He should have moved on. Why does he care so much? You did nothing wrong. You told a story. It didn't paint him in some horrible light. It just made him look a little curmudgeon-y. Big deal.
It made him look aloof is what it made him, right? And by the way, listen, I'm sure when you have $60 million or whatever he has, mm-hmm. when the guy who's coming in that's making $100 a show, you're like, oh, this guy, it's the equivalent of when the busboy comes up. I mean, I get that. But then the busboy gets to say, oh, this guy treated me like shit. You follow what I'm saying? It's just like when somebody says, oh, this guy was in my cab. If you leave a shitty tip, people tell that. They get to tell those stories. And in this case, this guy, again, I can go over everything again. You know all the things that he did. None of it was horrible, but he did do these things. And then that's, anyway, whatever.
And because of his response to this on Twitter, 4 to 5 times more people will hear about this than would have. Let's be honest.
Right.
I mean, he drove a lot of this.
Yeah.
Good, though. We'll take it.
Yeah. In his, the difference is that, if you're following Tom Arnold and Tom Arnold says Joe Robinson is a piece of shit, nobody is going to say, well, let me think about this. Let me hear both sides of this story until I pass judgment. People are star fuckers anyway. They're going to take the side of this celebrity, especially a celebrity that they've decided I'm interested enough to make sure I hear what he has to say. And that's what they've done. But look, at the end of the day, I promise you, my level of upset will never even get anywhere near his level of upset when he sent out those tweets. It's still going on.
I think the bigger problem, and I mentioned this to Rob privately, was the fact that the Rob and Joe show wasn't being mentioned in all this PR that was happening. It was 98 Rock, it was TMOS, but there was no mention of the Rob and Joe show.
No, when I was on TMOS, it started out talking about Rob and Joe show. We corrected the website, all that. Yeah, we got our mentions, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Tom Arnold retweeted something with our website on it, right?
Yeah, no, he did with the show. So thank you, Tom. I know Robbie reached out to him and tried to see if he wanted to come on, and that, not surprisingly, went nowhere. Let's take a break. No more Tom Arnold. Let's come back. Miggity Mac, our listener of the year, once again proves why he's the best. Rob and Joe should be right back.
From the minds of Rob and Joe and Die Laughing Productions comes the all-new superhero-themed murder mystery, Superhero Homicide Dawn of Death Dealer. Tight tights, shoulder pads, make-believe superpowers, the ability to talk to animals, and people shooting lasers clean out of their asses. Not sure if we've got the budget for that. It's going to be incredible. And if you're lucky, maybe you and your adorable coiffed sidekick could join us on stage. Eat, drink, solve a murder. We encourage you to dress like a superhero and legit superheroes verified in the database of superheroes and heroines via a blood test. Get in for free. Superhero Homicide Dawn of Death Dealer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, April 3rd at McGoobie's Joke House in Timonium. Tickets are on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com.
And now back to the Rob and Joe show.
So, Mac Bergson, huge fan of the show, our listener of the year, he Facebook messages me yesterday and says he reached out to Robbie. Let's see how long ago he said this was. I'm going to make about a year ago and asked for our show's PayPal account to send some money as a small thank you to the team for all the joy you've gave me while I was looking for a new job. And in true Rob and Joe fashion, the link didn't work. So, I mean, we've never had a Rob and Joe show PayPal, so I don't know what Robbie sent him. Anyway, he goes on to say that he got a little bonus at his new job. I hope I'm not saying too much. And that he sent us money through my PayPal account, which is Rob Mayer. There's a PayPal me. It's a new thing. You can literally just find me, Rob Mayer. If anyone wants to send me money, R-O-B-M-A-H-E-R. So I'm not going to say how much he sent us, but
it's a lot, though. It was a lot of money.
Yeah, it was
let me just say this. When you asked me to guess how much money it was, my first guess was 1/3 of what it actually was.
And your first guess was an amount.
Well, you asked it in a way.
You would think, oh, that was very nice of him.
Yeah, you asked it in a way that led me to believe it was a pretty nice amount of money.
Right.
That's why I guessed the first amount. I'm like, wow, he probably gave a lot of money. And so I guessed that, and it was 3 times that.
Yeah. He says that when he saw Marcus over the break, Marcus said that we might need some money to upgrade the technology. So you can either use this to help with that, or if you prefer, just split it amongst the three of you, whatever you decide. So that brings us to the question, Joe. Do we have a little fun with this money? Do we invest it back into, you know, we have operating costs. You know, Podbean's $20 a month. There's clearly we could invest in new equipment. You know, what
I gotta pay for the server every year, right? What's that thing called?
So do we just do that? Which that doesn't seem very fun. Or we buy some new shiny pieces of equipment or invest it or put it towards that. Or we have fun with it. So what do?
We definitely
Do we give Robbie his full third share? Because if it wasn't for him botching, we would have had this a year ago, according to Mac. Yeah.
Also, Marcus is here now. You know what I mean? Marcus is here.
Oh, he's not getting it, Diane.
Yeah, but screw him. This is what I say we do.
Okay.
Let's take the whole amount. We'll go to Maryland Live. We're going to put it on one number.
Okay.
Okay? And then you can do the math because you get paid.
What do you mean? One roulette? One number?
Yep. No. Just put on one number. Okay.
No, 44-1 or something.
It's 36-1, I think, right? Marcus, are you a roulette player?
Yes.
Is it 36 or 39-1?
I'll do odd or even.
I don't want to double the money. No, I don't want to double it. Don't you want to?
Second, third, we'll triple it.
I don't want to triple it. I don't want to. You realize I'm going to multiply it times 36. I'm just going to, I can't say the number, but holy hell. Do you see it? Do you see what the number is?
We're not going to hit that. It's ridiculous. Okay. Wouldn't it be better to just have a nice night out?
Hold on. I'm still doing the math. It's so much money. Well, holy hell. Yeah. I'm for putting it on one number. On roulette. That's what I want to do.
I mean, I'm not against gambling, but that seems like that's not
even
a... I
don't want to double it. What good does that do to double it? Who gives...
Blackjack with the money.
What's that?
I'd rather play blackjack with the money and get more fun out of it.
You mean we each take half of it and then we play...
Look, Robbie can do whatever he wants with his, but you and I would gamble. You and I would go to the blackjack table.
Yeah, I mean, but the problem is that I don't want to win... Double. I don't want to double the money. I want an amount of money. What's that?
You could take $10 in blackjack and turn into $100.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, it would be a lot harder to take that amount of money and turn it into 10 times at a blackjack table. More likely, you'll lose it or double it. That's really what you'll do. If we're gonna do that, we might as well go red black. I don't want to do that.
What if we just go out to eat and buy each other wolf shirts?
You mean like we go to like the Capitol Grill?
Yeah, we have a nice restaurant, nice meal, courtesy of Mac. We get the three of us. We get together. We take a nice picture. We talk about the show.
Will Mac be upset that we didn't use it on equipment and we had a nice steak dinner and our show still sounds shitty?
He said, whatever you three of you decide. Well, speaking of the equipment, what would we buy, Marcus? Well, I mean, how would we invest in equipment? What exactly would we do?
There is a device that we could buy that would give you and Joe a direct connection so that the audio would be flawless.
What's it cost?
It depends on the piece, but anywhere between $1,200 and $2,500.
Nope. Okay. We're gonna need to put it on that roulette wheel.
We're gonna need a few more Macs in our life. Would that be like a rove? Like, would that something that we'd have to set up in our house, or it would go with us? We could do that.
No, you can buy a portable version of it, but there may be another less inexpensive system. The one that I'm familiar with is one that I use at the radio station. It's one that I know that the boys over at TMOS are using. And it's a great system, but it is a little pricey. There is some other manufacturers we could get something similar for less and the quality be far superior to what we're doing right now in Skype.
Black market? Hmm. Can you ever consider black market?
Yeah. Can we pay someone to steal one?
We could eBay them relatively easily as well.
All right. So maybe we'll put it to the listeners. Do we invest in equipment? Do we put it towards operating costs? Do we gamble with it, or do we just have a night out with it, a dinner, basically? Are those the choices?
Yeah, that's fine. Why don't we ask, why don't we get like Hank and Laura and Merle and Amy and Michelle Berger? They put in their amount, and then maybe we can get that piece of equipment that Marcus is talking about.
There you
Mermelstein, go. Mermelstein puts in some money.
Oh, he's a big spender, big donator. Well, it, you know, we've been calling Mac the listener of the year, and the idea was that we were going to have a new listener of the year. But how about we do this? We make Mac our listener of the year, our male listener of the year. We make Merle
like
Rogers.
The Oscars.
Yeah, like the Oscars. Our Merle Rogers are our female listener of the year. Mm-hmm. Hank and Laura are couple listener of the year.
Right.
And our non-gender specific listener of the year, Amy Michelle Berger.
And that's actually
unless
more,
Jeff Hancock doesn't identify as a man, because I like him.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the most like the Oscar, because the Oscar looks very androgynous.
Yes.
It's got no boobs. It's got no penis. It's got nothing. And it's
I don't
naked.
Even know. Is that offensive, androgynous? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm not supposed to be saying androgynous. Amy will correct me if I'm not
I'm
allowed
sure
to say that.
Amy will. So that's our board of directors, if you will. Maybe we let them decide, other than Mac. But no, they all chip in. You know, we'll be killing it. We also could put it towards the Murder Mystery Company. We have a new website, dielaughingproductions.com. Check it out. Schedule, cast, and crew stuff, pictures, some videos. It's a good site. And, you know, Robbie knows how to do websites. But rather than have to deal with Robbie, Joe and I paid someone else to do it.
Although Robbie is doing the updating now.
He is, but I could do that, not as quickly.
Don't say that, because then he'll, you know, I like Robbie doing it.
No, so do I. But shout out to Vince. What's his last name? I want to get Vince Moore. He's a Justin, friend of Justin's. He gave us a great deal, put together a great website. Thank you. DieLaughingProductions.com. Really?
Does he have a company we can plug? Vince Moore?
I mean, his Gmail is Coco the Monkey. Is that a company? I don't know.
Coco the Monkey at gmail.com. Yeah. Is Coco spelled? It's COCOTHE monkey at gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good Gmail.
In case you want a website, Coco the Monkey at gmail.com.
Yeah, I'll give you a friend referral price. We're the friend. What wonder if Justin gets something? I don't know. You went to Vegas. I guess that's why the gambling's on your mind. You were there, I don't know, 5 days?
That's a long time to be in Vegas. I'm lucky I came back with money.
Yeah.
I would have won for the trip, but everybody had left on an early flight. My flight was at 5:00. So, of course, I dropped $500 just sitting there waiting for my plane.
Hey, real quick, wouldn't it be ironic if we fought over this money and it caused us to break up?
Yeah, it would be ironic. You mean what Mac delivered us to help actually is the downfall of the show?
Right. This causes a rift. We don't know what to do with the money. We spend some of Robbie's money. He gets upset. We can't agree. The show's over. Sorry,
what if
Mac.
We give Robbie less than a third and he just snaps? Yeah.
Well, I mean, he did botch it, Robbie. I mean, Mac tried to give us his money a year ago. We could have invested it with interest, you know, so Robbie cost us money. I mean, I'm not against penalizing him for that.
I could have used this money a lot more a year ago than I could today.
Absolutely. Maybe we buy our girlfriend something with it.
T-shirts?
No, that's a stupid idea. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll detail your whole Vegas trip. Robin Jones will be right back.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
So you went to Vegas, all dudes, a guy trip, yes. Classic guy trip, first weekend of March Madness, you know, tons of games to bet on. Perfect time to be there. I was invited. Phil was invited, your former roommate and friend of ours. We didn't go, and I ended up hanging out with Phil on Sunday, and we were very jealous. We because you guys were including us on every text, which was funny.
Yeah,
you wanted to text, be like, where do you guys want to eat? We're like, we're here. I mean, I don't know. Applebee's? Yeah.
Yeah, but I will say a couple things. First of all, I'm going as many times as I can on that weekend. It is the absolute best weekend to go to Vegas. You know, all those basketball games are played. I have a friend who works for Vegas Insider, and he was giving me bets. Right. And, you know, he's X number of units on this, X number of units on that. So, you know, now if some of these bets are complicated. You're buying the hook. There's a two-team teaser. I mean, it's complicated. But going into the last day, he was up 58 units. So meaning if he said 10 units on one and you made that $100, you'd have been up $5,800, okay?
Wow, right.
Now, I didn't get every bet in, and some of the lines were a little bit different. But I definitely won a ton of money in sports gambling. As a matter of fact, you gave me a bet you wanted to make. You liked Texas A&M. What were you getting? 7, I think?
Giving 7.
Giving 7.
Didn't work out.
But here's the thing. He actually then later on sent me the picks, and among it was Northern Iowa -7. So he had the bet going the other way. So I went and placed the bet, of course, because I did everything that he said. And of course, my bet came in. But the funny thing is, you said, well, why don't we just bet each other? We wouldn't have to pay the juice, which was correct. That was dumb of me to do. But
ridiculous.
Something I didn't tell you. So I'm at the poker table, and there's this guy next to me. I didn't know this guy was a dick yet. Okay. And I'm just sitting there, and my friend Gary's with me. So I have a pair of sevens, and one of the sevens is a club, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to make the story as short as possible, but the flop comes with three clubs, and the turn is a club. And this guy bets, and I have a seven of clubs in my hand, and I go, and I go all in, but before I said all in, I started moving my chips in one stack at a time, which is a string bet. I already know you're not allowed to do that, right?
Right.
So this guy goes, that's a string bet. I mean, he starts freaking out, right? I go,
explain
okay.
What a string bet is to people.
A string bet is when you don't push all your money in at the same time. You put your money in increments, and you can really get a read on somebody if that's what you decide to do. You're supposed to say all in, then you can put your chips in or however you want. So he goes, I go, well, sir, how much can I put in? He goes, that's not my job. You talk to her. He's being a complete dick, right?
Right.
So I go, listen, why are you acting like this? And I'm getting pissed off at him, right? He says, do you want to step outside? I get up from the table. I go, as a matter of fact, I do want to step outside. I get up from the table and I walk out of the poker area. I'm going outside to fight this guy, okay?
How old was he? What did he look like?
What do you think he looked like? You think I'd be stepping outside if he looked like, Shaquille O'Neal? No, he was an old guy who I would beat the hell out of. Plus, Gary was there.
Right.
I'm not going to lose a fight, right? Well, at least Gary and I aren't, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I go to walk outside. Hey, he doesn't move. He doesn't move. So I go back in. I go, what does step outside mean? You just wanted me to leave? What, you know, when you say step outside, I assume you want to fight me. I thought you were just, but really you're just saying, please leave here, right?
You called
his bluff.
So anyway,
he goes, well, listen to this. He shows me Queen two of clubs. He had the straight. He lost. He already had it. My hand was, I was losing. He folds. And I get his money. Of course, I show the seven. I'm a dick. Of course, I show. What's that?
He folded with that?
He folded him. Well, he thought that he got counterfeited or whatever. You know, when the fourth club came, he throws his cards and I show. And he's already furious. Now he's even more mad. And he goes, seat change. And I go, yeah, that's probably a good idea, right? He's sitting right next to me. He then, right as he gets up, he goes, if you ever talk to me, if you ever say another word to me, I'll say whatever I want. I'm saying something right now. I mean, literally, right. What are you going to do? You're telling me if I say something. I mean, I'm going to fight this guy. So I then, the floor manager comes over and goes, hey, what did he say to you? And I go, he said, if I said another word, he was going to, and I don't even remember what he said, but I repeated what he said. They threw the guy out.
Who hates you more, that guy or Tom Arnold?
It's a toss-up. I'll tell you what, I was sitting there thinking as I was walking around the casino, I mean, this guy probably wants to kill me, right? Yeah. So, you know, I was a little nervous when I was walking around to the bathroom by myself. I'd see him in there, you know, and all of a sudden he stabs me, but, you know.
So at one point, and I thought I read this wrong, but apparently I didn't. Tim texted everyone. Basically, everyone was on the trip, plus me and Phil.
Before you continue, are you going to talk about an amount of money that somebody lost? If you are, tell it in code.
No, I don't know how much anybody
lost. Go ahead.
I'm going to talk about how he invited you guys up to his room to watch the Caps-Penguins game with a friend of his that was there.
Yeah, former announcer, show announcer Tim, the Caps and the Penguins were playing, and Maryland was playing. And he says, I'm going to watch it in my room. Who wants to go? We're in Las Vegas. It's the first weekend of March Madness. There's lights and alcohol, and anything you could want is down there.
Right.
Giant televisions. You're betting on games.
Sexy
people are cheering.
Waitresses.
There's gambling. Yes, everything is going on. And he wants to go up in his room and watch. By the way, it's not even high def. I'm not kidding. It wasn't even a high def television.
You're going to sit on the foot of the bed, uncomfortable.
Right. Is there going to have a party up there? Were there enough seats for nine? No,
it's
penthouse
suite. It's some shitty room with two double beds.
Yeah, someone in our party had lost an amount of money, which he texted out, which was, I mean, this amount of money, I mean, I probably would have been jumping off Bally's if that was me. I thought that's what
so
you were going to
repeat. I think it is?
Of course it is. It's exactly who you think it is. Now, the story is that he won all that money back and he paid off his marker. But who knows?
I don't know what marker means.
Marker is when you go and you don't carry thousands and thousands of dollars cash with you. You have the, you know, credit to be able to acquire that kind of money through the casino. It's called a marker. You got to pay it back at the end of your trip. So if you say, I got a $10,000 marker, they give you $10,000. And then at the end of the trip, you got to make good on that money. Yeah.
Did you? I know Tim went to some strip clubs. Did you get into anything like that? Any?
No, I mean, and I've said this before. Salacious. I don't like strip clubs. I don't like them.
Yeah. But it's Vegas, though.
I like naked girls. Like, I like to see naked girls, but I'm not comfortable. It's not because here's the thing. If I'm a single guy and there's a girl and she's like, hey, I want to take all my clothes off, I'm like, that's awesome. Please take all your clothes off. That's what I've been trying. Usually it takes a lot longer to get that done, but thank you for that.
Right.
But when I know all they really want to do is bilk me for my money.
It's expensive there, too.
Right. Drinks. It's like, you got to buy them drinks.
Cover or something.
Right. And each drink is $18. I mean, you know, it's not, that's not what I, when I think about sex, that's not what I think about. I think about the other party being interested in what's going on. I don't think about them wondering how much money's in my wallet. So even if I was in a position where, and Katie doesn't give a shit if I go to a strip club, she doesn't care about that. But even if I was in a position where I would be interested in something like that, that's an element. I know some people love it. It's just that's just not my thing. I don't like the idea that these people are so insincere, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, when I was much younger, I was in Vegas and we were in a strip club and I was at the bar and the girl walks up and starts talking to me. And I'm an idiot, so I'm thinking, you know, we're just talking. And then next thing you know, there's a lap dance. Next thing you know, it's the second song bleeds into the first song, bleeds into the second, and there's another lap dance. And then she goes, yeah, that's two songs you were charged for a lap dance, $60. I'm like, what? I'm an idiot. I realize it's my fault, but I'm like 22 years old. But I just sitting there, just and the next thing you know, it's $100 between drinks and two lap dances.
At 22,
for basically
that's probably
nothing.
Every dollar you had, right? I mean,
yeah,
that's probably every dollar you had, right?
Yeah, I showed up with like $400 to gamble. So that's a 25% of it just on that 20 minutes. Live and learn.
I love Vegas. I love Las Vegas. I
haven't been 15 years. God, I need to
I
go
just
back.
Love it. They, you know, listen, they, I don't know what they do. I cannot sleep when I'm in Vegas. It might have something
you,
to do with
at one point you texted me, it's 9 a.m. here. It's 6 a.m. there. That's the difference between us, Joe. If I'm going to be awake in Vegas at 6 a.m., it's because I'm still up, but you woke up. The day has started.
Yeah, I went to breakfast every day. I gambled one night. I gambled till 4 a.m. So it's 7 a.m. our time, and then I still ate breakfast. But I mean, when I wake up, it's even if I wake up at 7 a.m., it's 10 a.m. my time. You know, yeah. I just don't sleep when I'm there. Oh, here's something else I did. Oh, this story's so bad. So I'm heading home. Now, you and I are the same way in that I don't really, I'm not nervous about flying, but I get very uncomfortable. Just, you know what I mean? My body's just not built to sit in one seat for 4.5 hours, right?
Well, I like flying. I don't know how we're the same.
Yeah. Well, no, but you also take a little help to relax on a plane, right? And make you more comfortable.
I wish I had help. I've tried to take sleeping pills. It never works, though.
So I had a couple of painkillers from a friend of mine who has like neck pain. I guess she's going to have to go without, you know, this relief because I got three of these little orange pills or whatever. And they're great. They make you, you know, the flight's nothing. You're just relaxed the whole time. It's awesome. So on the way back, what I do is I eat 1.5 of those pills and I drink one drink. I don't even drink. So and then you're like, you feel nothing. And then you're in Baltimore. That's how it works.
Sure.
So I go but I don't drink. So I have to get a drink that's kind of going to be okay for me. So I get a Bloody Mary. I think they taste good, right? Oh. This is my mistake. Guy goes, hey, you want me to make it spicy? Well, yeah, I do. I like them like that, right?
Okay.
So I drink it. I could tell this thing was strong. It asked a lot of the drinker, this Bloody Mary. So I drank it. Then I eat my pill and a half, and I'm good. I'm good to go, right? I'm starting to feel great. I get on the plane, and this guy sits down 2 seats away. I hear him say he's from Annapolis. I start talking to him. I'm being hilarious, right? We hit it off. I'm talking about sports gambling. All of a sudden, this other guy sits in between us. It's this cool black guy. He's got on like some sort of Bruno Mars hat, and he's dressed all stylishly. I say his shirt costs more than my whole wardrobe. We're having a good time. All of a sudden, I don't feel so good.
Okay? What, Bruno Mars hat? Like, what does that mean?
Hat.
Oh, I thought you said he had a tattoo of Bruno Mars.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been cool.
That doesn't sound cool. Okay.
So here's the guys who they thought I was cool about 30 seconds ago. Now it's not looking too good. And I literally, like, I'm not going to make this. I'm going to throw up. And I got the air sickness bag, and I throw up. The flight hasn't even got, I haven't even left yet.
You're at your seat.
I'm in the seat. We haven't even started taxiing down the runway. And I throw up. Not only do I throw up the Bloody Mary, I throw up the pills. The pills that I did to allow me to get to Baltimore. And then I'm done. And by these guys who thought I was such a cool guy and hilarious, now they're like, this guy's a douche. And now I have to take a bag of vomit and I have to roll it up. It's sitting at my feet. I just threw up and it's sitting at my feet. The only thing the guy ever said to me, the Bruno Mars guy, said one more thing. He goes, hey, you want this other bag? He's giving me a second vomit bag. I go, no, I'm okay. My pride is awful. So 4.5 hours. Not only did these guys think I was the biggest loser that ever lived. Actually, I did talk to the guy one more time because he had eaten chips and he had eaten a sandwich. And I asked him for the bag so I could put my vomit in the other two bags. So when I handed it to the lady, it wouldn't be just a bag of vomit.
Yeah,
so I did
ask.
It was in a chip bag, and then that chip bag was in another like white bag, and then I.
How much would you have paid for that to not happen?
$500.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Because you can think of it this way: if somebody said to you, "Hey, instead of flying, you're just going to be home," what would you pay for that? Because that's what it feels like when you get to take those pills. You just enjoy the whole, it's just a great experience. So if somebody says, hey, I'm going to take this miserable experience, I'm going to make it a great experience, what's it worth to you? Well, you know, I mean, if somebody said, it's almost like, how much more would you pay for a connecting flight? Oh, this flight's going to be, if it's a one for nonstop.
Well, it's not the flying part. It's the embarrassing part of having throwing up. That's right.
What I'm just saying, you would pay for convenience. This is something, yes, I would have paid. I think $500 is the number that I would have paid.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I like the flying part. I don't want it. I mean, there's at a point I want it to end, but I like being off the grid.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. I like the story. So at this point, no. But if I was sitting there, I'm about to throw up, and they go, Joe, it's going to cost you $500 to not throw up right now. I'd be like, yeah, I got it. I have it on me.
Would it be worse if it was the guy at the poker table that you got in the fight with?
No, I would. That would have been better because I didn't care about him. Now, just to have him sitting next to me would have been bad. Hey, if I would have gone to sleep, he probably would have tried to, you know, jab me in the kidney.
What if it was a hot chick?
Oh, my God. That would have been worse. If it was a hot chick and, like, I killed it at the beginning, I was just hilarious, and then I threw up. Oh, that would have been way worse than what had happened to him.
What if it's like a... Would you rather throw up or have a baby crying next to you the whole flight?
Well, that's, and it's interesting that you brought that up, because about five rows up, there's this little shit. Now, luckily, it wasn't until the end, but it wasn't, I don't blame the kid, because the parents were letting this kid, it wasn't that it was crying. It was a, like a, it was like a, I don't know, maybe a four-year-old. It's like, right. Mommy, I mean, just loud as anything. And I'm like, hey, wait, wait a minute. I don't ever remember a time when I couldn't have said to my kids, hey, you're talking way too loud. If you can't control how loud you talk, you're not allowed to talk at all. You got one more chance. And you know what they would have done? They would have talked about this loud. That's what they would have done. But these parents had no control over these kids. I don't understand it. If you have a crying baby, I get that. There's nothing you can do. But these kids already know the English language. You can't tell your four-year-old to shut the fuck up. You can't do that. What kind of
what point that your as a parent do you lose control? I mean, if you've done a bad job when they're a toddler, does it matter? Is it at 3 years old? Is that when you have to start instilling discipline? At what point have you screwed up so much that there's no turning back? It's going to be a brat.
I don't know. I mean, my kids, we had always disciplined them, and they behave. You know what I mean? They're good kids. So
yeah, but
I feel like
you did that from the second they can understand what you were saying.
We never stopped disciplining them. I don't understand having that little control over what your kids do. Now, once they're in there, and when they're 18, it's a little different. Then it's hard to control them. You know what I mean? But when they're four, they're so easily to control because you just put your hand over their mouth if you had to.
Did you brush your teeth at all on this flight after the throw up?
It's funny because they made me check my bag, and it pissed me off because everybody else had a bag my size. Because I said, I'll carry this on. They go, well, you need to check that there's new regulations. I go, what, nobody else has these regulations? Every bag that was in, the only thing that I had on me was my CPAP machine.
That.
Right. Yeah, Tom Arnold could have carried an entire trunk on there. They wouldn't have said a word. But anyway, so that made me mad. But then I didn't have my toothbrush. So Katie came to pick me up. You know, she wants to kiss me hello. I haven't seen her in 5 days. I just threw up, so I couldn't really do that. So I had to run home and, you know, brush my teeth. And it was an hour later before I got to kiss
myself. Did you have any sex before you, some get home sex?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but yes.
was it better than normal? Because you're a week without, you're pent up.
No, it
around
was the
all
same.
Those dudes.
It's always good. It's the same. It's obviously a lot briefer. You know what I mean? Because, you know, nothing has occurred for 5 days. So, you know, I'm a little backed up. So that's happens. It's, you know, right out.
Do you think, I'm sure the sex on your end is always great with her, but I'm sure it varies much more for her.
You'd have to ask her about that.
Like for you, it's probably between an eight and a 10 every time, I'm guessing.
Yes, that's correct.
Between a 4 and a 7 every time.
Yeah. I mean, it's every once in a while I'll throw an 8 in there, but yeah, I don't think I'm ever throwing a 1 in there though.
Right. What's more likely, that you throw in a 10 or you throw in a 3?
3 is way more likely.
Okay.
You understand? There's times when I don't even know, you know, it's that I'm the only one getting enjoyment out of it. You know what I mean? That's
right.
There's times that there's nothing there for her.
Where is she? Let's talk to her.
She's in the other room. I'm not going to pull her in on this one. We've already had enough about how much she charged to have sex with Chris Restivo. I'll let this one go.
I'm headed to Wits End Saloon tonight, Tuesday night. They got my show tonight and next Tuesday, my open mic. Cuckoo is supposed to be there. He said he's showing up. We shall see.
All right. Now, what I want to do right now is we all guess 1 to 10 what how he is, and we'll be completely honest. Okay,
are we grading him on a curve, like a first timer curve, or just like a
we'll grade him on a first timer curve, because most of the first timers are a 2 tops.
Okay,
most first timers, would you agree?
If we're grading him on a real scale,
yes, right. So if we get him on a first timer scale, I mean, he's really unfunny in his emails.
But he's black, and crowds like black guys better.
Yeah,
than
but
white.
Isn't he? He's not from the States. He doesn't have soul bounce, as J.L. Coban says. He doesn't have that.
But he does have an accent, probably, and that's interesting to people.
Yeah. All right. At 1 to 10, I think he's going to be a 3. for a first time.
I'm going to give him a 4. I'm going to be a little more positive. Marcus?
1 or 2.
All right. I like that. Hey, we're getting closer. April 3rd, Magoobie's Joke House, 5 p.m. We debut our newest murder mystery. It's called Superhero Homicide, Dawn of Death Dealer. This is, I got to be honest. This is the first one that we did that wasn't my idea. And then it's the first one that we did that you sort of started writing it. Now we changed most of that, but without me. And so I came into this feeling not as confident. I don't know what that says about me, but because it didn't have more of my handprints on it.
Yeah, but we then took it and retooled it completely. It's you know.
And now, but the point is now I love it.
Now, right? Yeah. Yes. It's the closest to actual theater that we're probably, well, I don't know the next one too, but this is so far out of all of our plays or whatever you want to call them, this is the closest to a real theater with, you know, costumes and set and things like that.
Because we've never had any kind of a set, and we've never really had much of in the way of costumes. But this one, we have legit costumes. We have, not everyone's wearing a costume, but the stuff that Tommy is doing, and if you follow him on Facebook, you're friends with him, you're seeing some of the pics, you're getting a little bit
Tommy
of
Tommy Simbazo.
Yeah, but it's really good stuff, and it's going to make the show, because it's the show, like all our shows, is there's an element of silliness, clearly, but I feel like we can be sillier because our costumes are so on point.
Yeah, I really think that you are at the best advantage because, you know what's funny is I felt the most time making Justin's costume, but your costume looks so much more involved than Justin's costume.
It does.
I mean, you're wearing body armor, basically. You're going to look kind of ripped.
And it looks like something you've never seen before, where Justin's is something you have seen before.
And I don't know if we're allowed to tell this, but Justin gets to wear his for a very short period of time. So all that work.
I'm guaranteeing you that Justin will have sex in that costume.
Well, I meant during the actual play. I didn't mean that.
He's probably wearing it as we speak.
I wonder if he's had sex in it yet. I bet he has not.
I bet that he has.
All right. Well, he listens, so we'll let him. Yeah. Well, after he hears us, we'll let him tell us.
And by sex, we mean with his woman, not by himself.
Yeah, jerking off doesn't count.
Clearly, that's a yes. That. There's no doubt about that. But again, go to magoobies.com, M-A-G-O-O-B-Y-S. You can buy tickets. We got the numbers, the pre-sales. They're looking good, so we're going to have a big crowd, 200-plus, I'm hoping for. I think we've got a good shot at that. It's Superhero Homicide. It's going to be awesome, folks. Plus, back in Annapolis, we booked the Ram set again July 15th. I have a new room in Winchester, the Bright Box Theater July 16th. So, murder mystery. It's churning.
Yeah, we're at the Arlington Draft House, the Rams set
April
in Annapolis.
29th. Yep. DC Improv coming up, sorry.
DC Improv, yeah.
April 14th, doing the Newly Dead game. We sold out the Improv back in January. We're hoping to do the same. DCImprov.com. Or just go to our webpage now, DieLaughingProductions.com. That's the show. Hopefully no drama this week, Joe, because you were it was weighing on you. You'd had enough.
Well, yeah, of course, man. It's stressful to have that many people. Again, Tom Arnold has 131,000 Twitter followers who've never heard of Joe Robinson.
They all took
it. You understand, if I start making fun of John Smith in Idaho, you're not going to take his side. Well, you might, screwing around. But people right. are going to side with me who know me. Well, guess what? The amount of people that follow him on Twitter versus the amount of people that follow me is a 131-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
Not anymore, though. I got a lot more followers after this.
Yeah, you're dominating. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Robbie will be back next week, maybe, right? Can we say that?
I don't know. Maybe you'll stress him out if you say that. He might
maybe
be.
Maybe he'll just take that money and run. Thanks, Mac. You're the best. See you, guys.
See ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.